I had announced to you yesterday that we had some visitors coming, and they did show up just about the time we got home, the middle of the afternoon. They're from South Georgia, Elder Joe Hayes, his wife Patricia, and his son Tommy. They're with us this morning, and you won't have to hear Brother Joe speak but a little bit, and you'll know he's from South Georgia. I was with them over there about 2 weeks ago, and I'd been with him last fall also at a meeting, but I heard him preach about 2 weeks ago, and the Lord has endowed that brother with a beautiful gift, and I'm rejoiced at his preaching. He's with us this morning, and I'm glad to have him with us and his family. And they've been to Texas before, but Tommy never has. In fact, he had the Texas map laid out on our table last night, and Jackie's over there helping him see this and that. And if he were to go to all the places he got planned, he'd have to stay over here about 6 months. But anyway, they're going on to San Antonio to the. He wants to see the Alamo, and spend some time over there the next day or two, and then they're going to have to start back. Just wanted to take that moment and tell you three people we're glad you're here and you're welcome in our midst. Glad to have you. Then I'm going to ask Brother Joe Hayes to come forward and preach for us, and you pray for him, and if the Lord's in the matter, it'll be a rejoicing in the Lord. And we'll see that throne build up even to our generation.
Brothers and sisters, I certainly appreciate this opportunity to assemble with the Lord's people this morning. And I ask an interest in your prayers as I endeavor to speak to you today. As I left on this journey to the place there where I work, as I went out the door, our secretary said, asked me, she said, "Aren't you leery among going people, among total strangers and going among folks that you've never seen before?" And I said, "No, ma'am, I'm not. Because I'm not going among total strangers. I'm going among my people." And I hope that I consider you this morning as my people. I hope that as we come among you, that you consider us this morning as your people. And I hope that the Lord would bless us to assemble ourselves together this morning, and that for a little while we could be, our minds would be centered on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There was nothing that would come among us to disturb the peace and the fellowship that we have with each other. And that I ask this morning as I endeavor to speak to you for a little while that you pray for me as I stand before you. Now, if I follow the dictates of my mind this morning, I'm going to have to break my own rules that I've set for myself in preaching. I set a few rules for myself that I would never try to preach a subject except at my home people first and try it out among those folks. But I've also got another rule this morning that I tried to set for myself, that I try to speak to the Lord's people on the things that are in my mind this morning. So I'm going to have to violate one or the other of those two rules this morning. And I guess I'll violate the rule that I set for myself, that I'll never speak anything, never try anything except in my own home people first, and then get off somewhere and try. As I rise to speak to you this morning, there's the term that comes to my mind, and that term is SOS. Now, the term SOS is a international distress signal. And I want you to understand this morning, as I look out across America, there's some things today that you and I need to be distressed over. And one of those things today that needs to be distressed over, whenever we look out across America today and hear and see that there's literally thousands of unborn babies that are being killed in this country today, it's time to be distressed. But whenever, and one of the most ridiculous statements that I ever hear about that is, and got that an intelligent woman, supposed to be an intelligent woman, whenever I hear today on an intelligent woman make a statement on the ignorant tube today that says, "It's my body, I'll do with it as I please." Well, there's two things wrong with that. To start with, it's not her body that's being killed. And the second thing that's wrong with that, and turn with me, if you have a, and let's just lay that aside for right now, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to go to verses 19 and 20. And the Apostle Paul asked the Corinthian church here a very strange question. To start with, he says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now then, the woman then that says, "It's my body, I'll do with it as I please," ask yourself, if she lives her life according to what the Apostle Paul taught us, then it can't be then her body, because you're not your own, you're bought with a price. So then this morning, the price that every one of us are bought with is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's this morning why I'm not, when I come almost 900 miles, I'm still not among strange people, because every one of us are bought with a price. So then there's today some things that we ought to be distressed over. Whenever we look out today and see that the moral fiber of this nation today is being broken down, then there's some things today that you and I need to be distressed over. Whenever we look out and see that our great heroes such as O.J. Simpson is now arrested for murder, what does that do to the minds of our young people? And I'm going to tell you something this morning, my friends. I believe today there's some things that you and I can do. There's some things today that you and I need to be distressed over. And I'm going to tell you, it's getting to the point this morning where Primitive Baptist people need to be pulling together instead of pulling apart to fight the things that are consuming the minds of our young people this morning. And I'm thankful to hear that that's going on in the state of Texas, that it's going on, and I understand, in the state of Arkansas, that it's going on in the state of South Carolina. I hope that I live to see the fact that it'll go on in the state of Georgia. But there's some things today that you and I, as God-fearing people, need to be distressed over. And whenever we see the moral fiber of this country being broken down, and our young people are being taught such things as that this world got here by accident, that there is no such thing as creation, that everything that you see around you just simply began by a speck, and all of a sudden we had a great big bang out there in the universe, and guess what? This is, here it is. This is how it came out. That's ridiculous, my friends. And do you know today that if the Lord's people can remember the very first verse of the book of Genesis, in Genesis 1:1, where it says, "In the beginning, God," then they can understand the rest of it. They can understand today that God created this universe, that He is in the heavens, He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. But I'm telling you today that there's some things today that you and I need to be distressed over. So we need to be this morning perhaps sending out such a distress call. But I want you to understand at the same time today that there's also some things that you and I don't need to be distressed over. I told Brother Hewlin yesterday, I've heard the Primitive Baptist funeral preached for 40 years. I've heard it said, well, as long as, whenever this generation of Primitive Baptist people are gone, there's not going to be any more of them. Well, we're not going to have those folks to worry about anymore. Thanks be to God today that there's 40 years later that they're still here, and they're still coming. And do you know the reason why? That today the sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's the reason. And Brother Hewlin just read to you a text in the book of Psalms, in Psalms 89, with his permission, I'd like to go back to it, to that. And here's another reason today why we don't need to be distressed about the Lord's people disappearing. He says, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations.
Amen.
I'm telling you today, my friends, that whenever the Lord comes back after every one of those people that are His, regardless of who they are or where they are, and I want you to understand this morning that the Lord has people in all walks of life, that He has people in every race, every creed, every color today that they are on the face of this earth. You know, I've heard it said today and other times that Primitive Baptist folks believe that there's only going to be a handful in heaven. Well, I want you to go on record this morning. I'll go on record to you this morning saying, yes, sir, I believe that. There's only going to be a handful in heaven. But do you know whose hand it is that's going to hold it? If you can show me the size of God's hand today, and you can count how many people that can be held in God's hand today, I can tell you how many people is going to be housed in heaven. So they're right. They're only going to be a handful in heaven, but it's God's hand today that holds every one of them. And I'm telling you today, if you don't get anything else out of what I tell you this morning, you understand that I believe today in the eternal security of the Lord's people.
Amen.
That through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He came down from heaven not to do His own will, but the will of Him that sent Him, and that it is the will of Him that sent Him that He should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Now don't tell me the sons of Jacob are going to be consumed. Don't tell me that the Lord's people are going to disappear from the face of the earth. Call me a fatalist if you will, but I'm telling you, I believe today that there's going to be somebody somewhere contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints whenever the Lord comes back. I believe today that the Lord is not going to leave Himself without a witness. There's going to be somebody somewhere today contending for the faith. So then there's some things today that you and I do not need to be distressed over. We don't need to be distressed, but let me tell you something. You know, Primitive Baptist folks are curious sometimes. I don't know how they are in Texas. I know how they are in Georgia. I might not get over here in Texas and say some of these things, but I just know how they are in Georgia. I know how they are other places. I heard it said one time, and you know, we perhaps need to be concerned that some of our churches are going down, 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 down. And I don't mean to tell you that we don't need to be praying today for a revival, because we do. We need to be praying today that the Lord would still enter the hearts of every one of those people that are His. I heard a preacher from the state of Alabama say one time, one of his favorite texts was this: fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. He made a statement one time. He said, I would rather be just a few in peace than to be a multitude in confusion. Well, I agree with that statement. I would rather be just a few folks in peace than to be a multitude in confusion. But I'm telling you this morning, my friends, I guess I think about it different from a whole lot of folks. I don't see why this morning that we couldn't be a multitude in peace. I don't see why we can't do that. I don't see that. But we can rest assured of one thing, that if the Lord established His kingdom, and do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, whatever the Lord does, it stands done forever. I don't believe today that Satan is gonna and understand me, that he is today going through this world seeking whom he can devour. He's going to and fro seeking whom he can devour. But you know that if the Lord's church that he built and he established, if it's established upon a rock, the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. It's never going to tear it down. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can turn, if you will, and devour one another.
Yeah.
We can do that. But if the Lord has established his church and he said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, I got some news for you too. It wasn't Peter that was the rock. In case you never have heard that, it wasn't Peter that he built it on.
That's right, amen.
Peter wasn't the first head of it. The Lord Jesus Christ is the first head of it and the only head of it. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want you to understand something. I don't know what you've got in Texas, but we got some folks in Georgia, not Primitive Baptist people, I want you to understand. They're going around preaching that the Lord is coming back. We've got that so far. The Lord's coming back. He's coming back after every one of those people that are his. Got no objection to that so far. But when he does come back, that he's going to establish a kingdom, that he's going to rule over it for 1,000 years. But you know what I can't get them folks to do? I can't get them folks to tell me what's going to happen, Brother Hewlett, after the 1,000 years is up. But I got some news for you folks. The Lord's not going to establish a kingdom. He has already established a kingdom. And he already, if you will, rules over that kingdom today as I speak to you. Upon this rock, he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So there's some things today that as I speak to you that we do not need to be, that we do not need to be, if you will, distressed over. The Lord's going to have somebody contending for the faith that is once delivered to the saints whenever he comes back. But now you understand something. I'm not a fatalist. I want you to understand that. Here's the other side of that coin. Even though somebody's going to be contending for the faith that is once delivered to the saints, it might not be in Lockhart, Texas. I want you to think about that. It might not be in Lockhart, Texas. It might not be. I have to tell folks that I live at Moultrie, Georgia. Nobody knows where Norman Park is. I'll tell you something on your preacher. Maybe he won't mind this. He told me whenever he come to my house, he said, you call Brother Sam Bryant. You give him instructions how to get to your house. I did exactly that to a T, I thought. Brother Sam's comment was, if he can't follow them directions, he don't even need to be traveling. Well, he might not need to be traveling today. You draw the own conclusion. He might not need to be traveling too much. Do you know, though, regardless, I want you to understand something. Whenever this is done, whenever he says, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I have to tell folks, I live in Moultrie, Georgia. Nobody knows where Norman Park is. But I want you to understand something. That we, as the Lord's people, I've always heard it said that you Primitive Baptist people believe on sitting back on the stool of do nothing, waiting for the Lord to do it all. Well, I'm going to tell you something, my friends. There's been times in the life of the Primitive Baptist Church, if they'd have waited just a little bit longer, they'd have been a lot better off.
Yeah.
If they'd have waited and do like the Lord told Moses to do,
and be still and see the salvation of the Lord? Do you know, though, that we can act in a way and carry ourselves on in a way that we might lose the privilege that we have of assembling ourselves together? Let me tell you something. There's forces standing out there in the good old USA today that would barely close the doors of this meeting house. They're out there. They'd close the doors of this meeting house and laugh about it all the way. But you can rest assured that the kingdom that the Lord established, it'll last. It'll be here. Because he says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you know today then who the rock that this church is established on? The rock that he's established on is nothing more and nobody further than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's where the church is established. That's why that it says that, and it's going to be here somewhere, someplace. You know, today emphasis is placed on, and I'm going to give you something else now that we don't today need to be distressed or we don't need to be concerned about. We have an annual meeting at Harmony Church right there at Barwick, Georgia, where my membership and I pastor. It starts on Wednesday night before the fourth Sunday in May. I always take a little time off, as I've done here, to come to be with you here this morning for that meeting. Again, this same secretary that I mentioned a while ago, she began to ask me on Friday as I left, well, what you going to do next week? Well, my first 2 days is going to be a honeydew vacation. That's where I do everything she tells me to do and tried to, incidentally. You do believe that, don't you? All right. The next day's my meeting starts. You know what she said? You know, I've always heard it said that these Primitive Baptist folks are way behind time. You ever hear that? That they don't even live in the 20th century. That they're just way so far behind. After all, we don't have a musical instrument. We don't have a Sunday school. We don't have a ladies' circle. We don't have any of these sorts of things that would attract some of these folks. We don't have that. We're just so far behind. You know, whenever I went out the door and she asked me what I was going to do, and I began to tell her about my meeting, you know, the first thing out of her mouth was, she said, I'm going to pray that there's a whole lot of souls that are saved next week. You know what I told her? You're too late. You're too late for that. You know why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ took care of that whenever he gave his life on Calvary's cross. That was taken care of through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, I'm amazed that you're telling me not to pray for that. She said, well, now, incident, ask yourself if that's the case. Who's behind time? Is it us? Or is it somebody else? She said, well, if you're not going to let me pray that souls are going to be saved, how about I'll just pray that there's a lot of folks come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I told her? You're too late. You're too late. There's some things we don't need to be distressed over. Let's go to the Gospel of John. Let's go to the Gospel of John chapter 6 and verse 37. In the words of the Savior, in John chapter 6, verse 37, he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He says, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Let's don't be concerned today then about folks coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all that the Father gave the Son, they're going to eventually come to him. Going to eventually come to it. I said, they're going to be. You're too late for that. Now ask yourself, who today is behind times? Is it us? Or is it somebody else? She began, she said, well, you're not going to get the best of me. She turned around and said, well,
I tell you what. If you won't let me pray for those two things, she said, you know, emphasis today is placed on people knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, and she was amazed, you know, that I told her not to pray, that she's too late to pray for that. She said, well, if I'm too late, how about if I just pray that folks will come to know the Lord? Instead of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, that folks, after the gospel's preached to them, they'll know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I told her? Same thing. You're too late. Now I ask you, who's behind times? You go to John, the Gospel of John, and that's my favorite gospel to go to. John chapter 8 and verse 32. And here's the reason why she's too late. John chapter 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let me tell you something, my friends, today, if you know the truth, you know the Lord. Because the Lord says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So today, if you know the truth, you already know the Lord, because He is the truth. So he says in this text, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's go to one more. Let's go to the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 33. And it says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. I ask you this question this morning. If these Primitive Baptist folks are so far behind times, I want somebody to show me where it is. Because I already believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard Elder Lasair Bradley say one time, he said, before I came to the knowledge of the truth as a young man, he said, I've picked up many a hitchhiker. He said, I picked up some grisly looking characters in my time praying to the Lord that He'd spare my life long enough to get that man preached to and get him to know the Lord and get him to be saved. He said, you don't know the relief that came over me whenever I found out that is already taken care of. Do you know that ought to be a relief to every child of God today to know that that's already taken care of? Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 33. In Romans chapter 8 and at verse 33, and we're talking about today the eternal security of the Lord's people in doing that. Go down towards in Romans chapter 8, verse 33. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you today, my friends, as we look out in a cruel world, there's still some things today that you and I don't need to be distressed over. Because neither tribulation or famine or peril or sword, we're conquerors. We're all conquerors through Him that loved us. So then there's some things today that you and I don't need to be distressed over. But there are some things that you and I do need to be distressed over, and you remember that. Some things we do, and we have to be able to separate. So there's some things today that we don't need to be distressed over, because I'm thankful today that our God is in the heavens, that he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And it pleased him to save some. And you know, we don't have the right. We don't have the power. We don't even need to be saying, "Why doest thou?" You ever find yourself doing that? Saying, "Lord, why are we doing, explain this to me." You ever find yourself, I've found myself to the point of doing that sometimes. But that's not ours to say. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Sure, there's some things today that you and I don't need to be distressed over. There's some things today that you and I don't need to be putting out this distress call. Now I want to look at that word SOS, and let's look at it in a little bit of different light. Let's go and let's look and ask ourselves what that SOS in the scripture, what does that mean to you? Turn with me, if you will, to the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to pick up verse 5. And I want us to look today at what the first S in this SOS is. I'm going to tell you something today. The first S in this SOS is sufficiency. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Whenever we begin to look at ourselves and life begins to fall apart with us, do you know nothing in this life is going to stay? But do you know today where our sufficiency is? Our sufficiency is in God himself. Now, I want you to look at turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 9. And God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to find if God is our sufficiency, we need to take that just a little bit further. And we're going to find in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 5, and it says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Do you know today where our sufficiency is? Our sufficiency not only is in God the Father. Our sufficiency is also in the grace that he bestows. After all, you go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Incidentally, I've also heard this one said, and I'll throw it in. The Primitive Baptist preacher hadn't got but one text in the world. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8. Now, well, guess what? We might as well go ahead and get it out of the way.
Yeah.
We're going to have it today. Because our sufficiency is in his grace. Yeah. And it's sufficient enough today to save us. By grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. So our sufficiency today is in God. It's in God's grace. It's also the grace of God is also incidentally sufficient enough today to justify us. Go to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. And this doesn't paint a very good picture of what humanity today is. But you know, sometimes the Bible tells it like it is. And sometimes we have to have humans drawn in the pictures that they are, that they really are. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It says, "being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." So then, if the grace of God and God is our sufficiency, he's sufficient enough to save us. He's sufficient enough to justify us by his grace. The grace of God is also sufficient enough today, if you will, in Romans chapter 5, we're going to find it again. is sufficient enough today to abound in our life. In Romans chapter 5, verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Our sufficiency is in God, in the fact that His grace saves us, that it justifies us, and today it abounds in us. It abounds today over sin, and I'm thankful. It's sufficient enough. It's sufficient enough to reign in our life today. Verse 21. And it says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. But I want you to notice what it says in verse 6. In chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. You know, I've always heard it said. A lot of people tell me, if I believe the way that you do, I just get out here and act any way that I want to act. I do anything that I want to do. Well, you know that's what I'm doing this morning. I'm doing exactly this morning what I want to do. I didn't drive 900 miles to do something. I drove 900 miles to come right here to this very place. And I'm thankful God spared me to get here. I'm doing this morning exactly what I want to do. But let me tell you something, folks, it takes that attitude. That tells me where their minds are. But you know, the scripture don't look at it like that. It don't say we can do that. Go to chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So we today can't do it as we please and expect to get by with it. But I'm telling you, there's some things today that you and I don't need to be distressed over. And there's some things today where our sufficiency is. Our sufficiency is in God Himself.
Amen.
Now let's look at that word in this SOS. Let's look at that word O. And when we need to be careful with that. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. And that word O is an offering. But I want you to be careful. And I want you to understand something. The King James Version that I read, I never have found anywhere where the Lord Jesus Christ was ever offered to this world.
Yeah.
I never have found that. But you know where He was offered? He offered to the Father. And that offering was accepted.
Yeah.
He offered to the Father, and that offering was accepted. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to pick up verse 12. But it says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Do you know where Jesus Christ is today?
Yeah.
He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Because He has offered one time. He's offered one time. And that offering was accepted. Just think today that He offered in our room and in our stead. Go to verse 14. For by one offering He hath perfected forever. Forever's a long time. But it says, for one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The Lord today, in this SOS, the Lord today is our offering. And I want you to remember now that He's, remember this. And where they get it, I don't know. I don't know today where they've ever found it. I can't get folks to tell me where He has ever offered to this world. And the thing that I can't understand, do you know that He's the Lord of this universe? Whether I accept that fact or not.
Yeah.
He's still the Lord. Whether I accept that fact or not, you look at that word accept, accepted, acceptable, whatever it is in the scripture. Do you know it doesn't apply to us, but it applies to the work of the Lord.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm concerned about today? I'm not today concerned about accepting the Lord. You know where my concerns are? As to whether or not he's made Joe Hayes accepted in the Beloved.
Yeah.
Therefore, I can do as the Apostle Paul says, in hope of eternal life, whom the God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Why? Because he once and forever perfected those that are sanctified. By one offering, he perfected forever those that are sanctified. So in this SOS, he is our offering. You're also going to find today that he is our salvation. Let's go to in back into the book of Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9. In Jonah chapter 2 verse 9 it says, salvation is of the Lord. Today, if we can claim our salvation, and folks will tell me, I want you to understand something. That if you think, though, that every salvation in the Scripture, if you think that every salvation in the Scripture is the same one, you're going to go absolutely berserk trying to figure it out. For instance, go to Philippians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I've already told you, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. But yet the Apostle Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, the world stops that right there. But you know what it goes on to say? For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Amen.
You know what that's telling me? That in my timely salvation in this life, in the salvation that I work out, my sufficiency to work it out is still in God.
Amen.
My sufficiency to work it out is still in God. So today, God is our salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Go to Psalms chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, salvation belongeth to the Lord.
Amen.
Do you know he came to give salvation to each and every one of those that the Father gave the Son? I'm telling you today, my friends, that I've got a book there in my study at home, talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man said, I can tell you the exact date, the exact hour. I read the book. I still don't know when he's coming. But I'm not surprised, Brother Hewlin, you don't either. Nobody else does, except for the Father. But he's coming back after every one of those that are his.
Amen.
You know why? Because salvation belongeth to the Lord.
Amen.
Salvation is of the Lord. A noted Primitive Baptist preacher in South Georgia by the name of Elder O.B. Marshall, he made this statement one time. He said, you know, talking about his wife, he said, let's suppose that I go down to the hospital and I donate a pint or two of blood for Fleta's welfare. That's his wife. He said, after I do that and they stick that needle in my arm, no more blood, and I'm going to leave. He said, I'm not going to leave Fleta sitting there. That's the way the bride of Christ is today. If he's bled and he's died for him, he's not going to leave him here.
No.
He's coming back after every one of those that are his.
Amen.
Folks today are concerned about the coming of the end of time. Let's not worry about that. That if this world is destroyed today, I'll fly away.
Yeah.
I got condemned one time for singing the song, Some Glad Morning When This Life Is Over, I'll Fly Away. I had a Primitive Baptist preacher come to me and say, I want to know what in the world you're going to fly away on. I tell you today, Brother Hewlin, what I'm going to fly away on. I'm going to fly away on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that he's come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Mm-hmm.
That one of the last seven things that he had to say was, it is finished.
Yeah.
Into thy hands I commend my spirit. That's why today the Lord is our salvation. Go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. And it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, if our sufficiency is in God today, if our offering is in God today, if our salvation is in God today, Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." If God today then is our sufficiency, if He is our offering, if He is our salvation, as we live day by day by day by day by day in this life, do we not need to be serving Him acceptably? Do we not need to be serving Him with as much reverence as we can muster up as human beings? Do we not need to be serving Him as with godly fear? Do we not, as He taught in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, I believe it is in verse 9, when He said, "Grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." If God's grace is our sufficiency today, I can't think of a better place to grow than to grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if God is our sufficiency, if He is today our SOS, if He's our sufficiency, if He's our offering, if He today is our salvation, should we not today take up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ? And I would ask you to do so. If you've never taken up your cross to follow the Lord, I would ask you today that you'd step out from this world and follow the Lord in precept and example, simply because He is our sufficiency. He is our offering. He is our salvation. Today, the Lord is our all in all. Today, the Lord is our SOS. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.